Hello and welcome to episode number 43 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
And I'm Robert Rosenthal.
A very special episode for us. Sitting to my right is a man who needs no introduction, Illinois head coach Brad Underwood, who, anything big happened recently? Recently went to a Final Four. We've been working on this for a few weeks to have Brad here, and we are delighted to do so. So we're going to dive into it for an enjoyable conversation with the coach. But Robert, before we do that,
we have to light the eye. And any coach who makes the Final Four should probably have the honor of lighting the eye, coach. So I'm going to slide you this.
Let's get to it.
You hit that, and we'll light the eye.
There we go.
All right.
Wow.
Cutting down nets for a Final Four or lighting the eye, which outranks the other?
Well, I haven't done the first one yet.
So that's a good point. You said Final Four.
So it's not even close. Lighting the eye ranks right up there with one of the all time great things I've done.
Yes. Did anyone video so he could share with his family? No.
Okay. All right.
Good.
We have to talk maybe about the most important thing going on around here. There was a cow on campus yesterday. I don't know if you caught wind of that.
Was not mine.
That's what I was going to say.
It was not mine. I got the question. I got many pictures of it because I'm not on social at all. But I did get pictures. I did get asked if it was mine. It was not. And so I'm clear of all responsibilities that thing caused on campus.
But you have some wrangling skills.
Yeah, I don't know if you want me doing that, especially with one hand right now. But it would probably be an embarrassment to everybody in the livestock business if I was out there trying to wrangle that thing.
I think a lot of people, but not everybody, knows you. You're serious. You have a cow, or at least you did.
I have more than one. And less than a lot. So I dabble in it enough to say I'm involved, and I enjoy it, and I don't do any of the work. And a good friend of mine over in Macomb takes care of them and houses them and feeds them and does all of that, and I'm slowly growing my herd, if I do much more, that means I'm gonna have to buy land, and that requires something that I probably don't want to get into too much.
Well, maybe it was a sign of more good things to come. Since the Final Four, what's the last few weeks been like for you compared to other end of seasons?
Yeah, everybody thinks that it's just, it ends and you relax and you think about it. And I got a question today from a high school buddy, if you had time to reflect on it. Really haven't. We got beat on Saturday. We came home on Sunday and the portal opened on Tuesday. And it has been a completely different frenetic pace. During the season, you get into a routine with games and watching film and preparation and all of that, and it's kind of a nice routine because you're in one, and then all of a sudden the portal hits and you become on student athlete time, on agents time, on coaches time, which is late night and early evenings and a lot of hours, and so you're going in a completely different direction. It's a pretty intense couple of weeks, and for some it's still going on, and we're not completely done yet, but the brunt of our stuff was handled early, but it very 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 time intense and just so different than the season. But slowing down a little bit. I had a little hand surgery on Monday because I did have things I felt comfortable with in the portal, and recouping from that. But I really haven't. I haven't watched the last two games that we played, and I've got to do that and kind of start to think about the, you know, what the season was.
What can watching those two games do for you?
Enjoy the moment a little bit. You know, I think it's pretty special when you get to Elite Eight and you win that game. You know, and then to beat the team we beat, I think is there was so many positives in the whole Houston trip. You know, we beat a hot Iowa team, another Big Ten team. You know, I think there's frustration in the UConn game for me because we didn't make shots and we were so good offensively all year. You know, just to kind of look back and take it all in, both the good and the bad, it'll be fun.
Is there a measure of discipline you have to exercise on the sideline? Because there will be moments when somebody does something incredible and the crowd's going nuts and everyone's just going, wow. And if it's a defensive stop, Tyler's immediately up. He's just calling a play. And it almost looks like I don't have time to enjoy that moment. I have to keep coaching here.
Yeah, there's always a next play.
Yeah,
you know, when the game's going on, so there's always a thought process. I think, you know, staying very in the moment, stoic, not too emotional on a good one. You know, you're gonna smile when Z tears the rim down on that and blocks the shot at the other end and tears it down. There's some of those moments where you just set back, but. You know, for the most part, you try to be very present in the moment. You know, I've always been able to, you know, I think in a positive way, handle emotion and stay in the moment. I became probably more stoic in the last few years on the sideline. But, you know, there's always something going on. And so, you know, you remember plays and you don't remember sometimes the emotion that happens in those plays, and that's when you watch it on film and you go, wow, that was a big time play,
yeah.
Or whatever it was, or that was a really bad play and it turned the other way, and
yeah.
You know, you remember the play but not the emotion behind it.
So having not watched the Iowa game, I'm curious what sticks out to you, like having not watched it, and like what's the moment that sticks out from that game for you?
So I was really uptight going into that game, not because of the what it meant, but because we had played them earlier, gotten off to an incredible start and a big lead, and really controlled the first game in their building. And it was like, oh no, you know, every game's got its own identity. Every game's got its own different path that it takes. We can't think it's going to be that easy. And I was concerned about that, and knowing that, you know, we had an emotional win the night before, two nights before against Houston, and so I was a little concerned. I was a little on edge. And then the one thing I didn't want to happen, and that was Bennett get hot.
Mm-hmm.
And Bennett got going very, very early. And, you know, that was, you know, that was concerning. And you know, as I said post-game, I mean, they punched us. And I was glad that we responded. I thought Andre Stojakovic was huge in that game.
Mm-hmm.
More on the defensive side than the offensive side. You know, we made a few changes defensively. We started extending the court, full court, making him work. And we got it back to neutral. I felt like at the end of the first half, and we obviously had a long horn delay, in that process. But it was the start of the second half was the key,
yeah.
Because we punched,
yeah,
and we threw a couple punches that we needed to do to get control of that, and it was. It was a game as I look forward to watching it, because I think it's a game I'm going to be really proud of.
Yeah,
because of not the outcome, but because of the processes we had to go through during the game.
Yeah,
and to get punched, to get back up, to level it off, and then to set our feet and start. And I use a lot of boxing analogy, but we kept throwing punches, and we were the aggressor, and you have to do that to be a really good basketball team. And I think I'll look back and I'll be really, really proud of that game.
So at the end of a game like that, so, you know, to me, this pivotal moment was Tommy making those two baskets. The first one bounced on the front of the rim like four times and crept over. The second one was a solid shot, and that was the first two-possession lead in a long time. And then it pushes out to 7 or 9, and then it's a like, wow, make free throws, go to the Final Four. Do you get – okay, here's my exact experience. I got up from my media seat. I went over to the corner, and I paced around because I can't sit still in a moment like that just as a fan. A certain athletic director who might be your boss happens to maybe do the same thing sometimes and wanders around the corner, just can't sit still, nervous energy. You're on the sideline. What do you go through in those last moments of like, hey, free throws in the Final Four is in front of us? Or are you just like game, clock's not out, coaching scenarios, all that?
Yeah, I'd be lying if you don't. If you play every moment because the game is crazy. And the one thing I've learned over time is you never mess with the game. The game will always have a different outcome if you mess with it. But there's a moment when you sit there and go, okay, if we just do this, then we're okay. We're in a good spot. Mm-hmm. And you know, you had that moment, and you know momentum's kind of riding your way, and you're going to make your free throws, and you know, I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a little of that with a minute to go or sure. You know, whatever. Yeah. But you know, and then it's just a really different feeling to when the horn goes off and
when it washes over you that yeah, hey, we're headed to the
final four. We're going to the Final Four, and that's a very hard and I probably haven't thought about it enough or at all, really, kind of the emotion that happens with that, and you know, the that'll be fun. I be fun to rewatch that game so I can feel that again and have a better idea of what it was. It's pure joy, and you're so excited, and yet you it happens so fast, and it all becomes, you know, kind of a blur in some things. But it's a doggone good feeling. I know that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Does getting to it at this point in your career and life, you think you could enjoy it more than if you had done it much earlier as a younger man?
I would have liked to find out.
Fair.
I think that it's I appreciate the journey. And mine's been whatever you want to make it. For some people, they look at it and go, gosh, it's finally, you took you long enough. And I've never looked at it that way. And I've looked at it as every moment's been great. Every moment's been a learning experience. You just keep knocking and we'll get there. The beautiful thing about this Final Four was all of the connections from every stop. And that did make me realize about the relationships, and I'm all about relationships, and all the people that you come across from Dodge City, Kansas to every place. And I don't want to leave any place out, but you know, we had people fly in from almost every spot and see us and spend time, and they're excited for you, and that's really gratifying. That's something that let me know that hey, we did it maybe the right way in a lot of places and made a lot of close relationships, and that part's pretty neat.
So would you like to do it again? Go to the Final Four?
That's yeah, I don't want to end it on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think that again, I'll say the same thing after we got beaten in the Elite Eight. Just keep knocking on the door. It's an incredible experience. The NCAA should be commended on one thing, and the running of that championship is elite. What they do for the student athletes is incredible. It was, one of the highlights was the open practice and seeing just shy of 20,000 Illinois fans there. You know, it's just an incredible. Everything about it is amped a million times compared to what a regular season game is, and that part of it's really, really special. And absolutely, you want to get back. You want to go enjoy that, and obviously, we do want to cut down the Final Four nets.
Mm-hmm. And then there's, I mean, even the locker rooms had the photo on the wall was from 6 days prior of winning the Elite.
How cool!
You know, that so they cool. had like the locker room looks like it had been designed for a month, and they had basically 5 days to throw that together based on what teams with what. So yes, I agree with that. And the other thing about the Final Four is there's all it's the reunion for college basketball, right? You go to any restaurant in downtown Indy, and there's the High Point student managers are here sitting across the table from the Utah State staff, who's just, you know, it's anybody and everybody who's been part of college basketball. So what were you able to absorb any of that? Of, I'm sure your phone was blowing up of congrats on the Final Four, but were you able to absorb that at the Final Four?
No, you're pretty much secluded from all of that. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about this year's Final Four, you had the NIT there at Butler.
Mm-hmm.
You had Division III and Division II national championships there as well. And so you have all of the national championships being played in one city. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Final Four, as I've grew up in it, was just the melting pot of everybody. It was the coming together. It was the lobbies were packed. The beer was being, you know, there was horse troughs of beer being sold in the lobbies of the headquarters, and it was what it was. You went out, you saw friends, you went out to dinner, and you had a beer, and you know, you were in the lobby at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, and you were just chatting and having, and that's gone away a little bit, but it's still our convention. It's still what it's about, and I miss some of that, or a good portion of it. But it's that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, you'll take the distraction of having a game to play.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to go all the way back here for a moment. Your Central Kansas, obviously, you know, people know Pizza Hut stories and everything else. And I've always been fascinated how where Lou Henson came from, where Bill Self came from, where Lon Kruger came from, where Brad Underwood came from, are all within like 180 miles of each other in central Oklahoma, central Kansas. Why do you think the fit in Champaign for guys born in that, why is that the cradle of Illini coaches?
That's a good question.
What
good
do you
question.
Think fits in that? Like what, why is that such a fit?
Yeah, I think it's very similar. I think it's basketball country.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important. You know, I think that we, you know, and I'm going to say Lon and Bill and I for sure, you know, Big Eight basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it was all the equivalent of the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
And you had you grow up and you watch it, and that's what you did on Saturdays. You know, and there was all this three networks. You know, this is before.
Yeah.
And it was a big part of your life. But the only other thing that we watched was Big Ten games. And we didn't get SEC or ACC games. We got Big Ten games. So I think that's a part of it. I think all of us understand, and I don't want to speak for anybody else, but that basketball is so important in this state. I mean, the high school basketball, it's fun. It's great to go to – you know, it was important to me to get the state tournament back here. And I remember my early days at Western, and you couldn't find a ticket in Assembly Hall back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, two classes. And you know, I think it's just a great, great fit. I think the agriculture, I think the people, I think there's so many like things.
Yes.
That it just makes coaches feel at home and have the ability to be successful, and whether you're from Silver Lake, Kansas, or McPherson, Kansas, or you know, where's Bill from? Enid, Oklahoma, or somewhere up there, and or down there, I guess. And they're all small communities that it just fits, and we all grew up in college communities, and it's just a right fit.
Yeah, yeah.
For next season, the story will be: can you get back there? Can you get back there? And is that a fair question? Not because, I mean, we can already see.
Can we?
Yeah. What's on the roster? Yes.
Absolutely.
But just to like let 26 be 26 and let 27 be 27.
Well, you guys will never do that. I mean, there's no doubt that I think that I just think, and I've used a different word rather than retention. I've used loyalty. Just with the guys back, there's going to be a different type of pressure put on because of what we did this year. Every team's got its own identity. I understand that, and we've got we've got a really simple theme this off season. That's get better. Just get better. And if we get better, it'll take care of itself. We've got new pieces coming in that have to fit and have to gel. When we release our schedule, it'll be a tremendous schedule again. We're going to challenge ourselves early, but I can't control what everybody thinks. I think the thing that I want to prepare our team for the most is the way other teams look at us. And that's that. You become, maybe what Michigan State has been in this league, and or Purdue to a certain extent, or Indiana back in the day. There's a different, hey, we're playing Illinois, they're a Final Four team. They got a bullseye on your back, and they're going to get up, and you're going to get everybody's best shot. And that's what I want to prepare our team for more than anything.
People will be circling the date on the calendar when Illinois is coming to town.
Yeah, and I think we've had a lot of that already, but I think it's amplified, and we have to know we're going to get everybody's best team, and we should expect that, and we should relish that and thrive off challenging ourselves that way. And that's the way I approach it anyway.
Yeah. Do you've adjusted over the years to, some of the analytics, and so obviously famously you changed your defense and, made a complete switch. I'm just curious, obviously this was your most successful team in the postseason. I'm curious how comfortable you feel in that, or do you see it as hey, basketball changes and we will change with it kind of a thing?
Both.
Okay.
Both. I think that we did a lot of things average for a lot of this year, especially on the defensive side. And for whatever the reasons, injuries were a part of it. Lack of chemistry early was a part of it. There's areas to grow there. People forget we started two freshmen that had never played, and to be very honest, neither one were very good defensively early. Mm-hmm. I think that there's value in having veterans. One of those things is that you can tweak some things and change some things. And we didn't feel like we could do a lot of that this year, just because we weren't great at one thing. We never got really good till late. Mm-hmm. And, it's 2 years in a row that I've been a little frustrated with us defensively. When Merez broke his hand, our pathway with that team was double big, and we never got to it. And, this year then we get Dre and Kylan go out. And so it's just finding your stride. So I think there's a lot of changes to make. I think I've got some different ideas. Cam and I we'll spend a lot of time here trying to come up with the right way on that side of it. And then offensively, we had a pretty special year, and a freshman point guard that became pretty good and didn't turn the ball over, and I'm excited about what we can be, because I think we can be better on that side of it, and it may look completely different than what it did this year. I would like to play faster. We got to a point where we were at a snail's pace, and that was okay. for this team. But I think we've got to keep open-minded enough to want to keep evolving.
Yeah.
On the topic of evolving, and you know, it's been covered now with how you and your staff and Tyler, especially in the offensive side of, I don't know if the word is borrowed, but used concepts that are in the NBA. So
we've stole them.
Okay.
Yeah, and created them.
Copy-paste, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, we're really good at...
This is from a few days ago, just Jonathan Givney. The NIL era is flipping the NBA draft on its head. Only 71 players entered the 2026 NBA draft per the NBA. That's down from 106 last year and a peak of 363 in 2021. Lowest early entrant total since 2003. College basketball stars are staying in school overwhelmingly. My question is this. Is college basketball at its best in terms of the basketball because of that, in terms of what you see on the court? And number two, can you steal from the NBA in ways that maybe you couldn't have in years past because there's maybe more talent there in the college ranks?
That's a really – there's a lot of answers to that. I think the one thing that basketball's at its – college basketball's in great shape. We have a lot of talent. We have players staying, and that's a good thing. We can't forget that earning degrees, that's a pretty important piece once the round ball stops. So I think that's really positive. But I think you've got guys that are able to make much better decisions than going out and they're not ready. And you know, this gives them an opportunity to really keep working and develop. And I think the one beautiful thing about college basketball is we're teachers, we're development, we're working with the basic skills and fundamentals. Not that they don't do that in the NBA. They don't have time to do that in the NBA. They may have 40 practices a year. We're practicing three times that. So I think that there's a lot of development going on, a lot of maturing going on in a weight room. That's helping the game become the best it's ever been. I think you look at the ratings, it's through the roof, and that's a great thing. Are we copying the NBA? Absolutely, in a lot of ways. Especially, we're trying very hard just our infrastructure and how things work and the way because of NIL, because of agents being involved, because of so many things that we have to manage today. I think it's becoming more and more like that, and I think we're foolish if we don't try to steal things from them and how they run their organization. So we do pretty deep dives into, you know, some of the better organizations in the NBA and see if we can steal some of their stuff.
You know, if that's a five-star guard, you can take it if you want.
That was a former assistant coach who's now at Gonzaga, probably bragging about the big guy they got in the portal.
Okay.
Wonder who that would be.
Yes.
Okay, speaking of the NBA, you recently got to take in a game, a playoff game, watching Io and Terrence. And you missed the 43-point game from Io, but how cool was that? And then today you learned that you've got your first former player going into the Illinois Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that's it's always great to go watch your guys at the next level, and I didn't get to do – I don't get to do it enough. And unfortunately, Terrence was sick that night and had the flu and didn't get a play, and we didn't even get to see him. But, you know, it's great perspective because we got there earlier in the day. We went to lunch with Coach Finch and sat and talked, and you know, it's always great to talk ball. But then we got there early and, you know, watch Io, and, you know, you forget how doggone hard that young man works and how hard he – prepared, and you're out there 2 hours before, and you're watching him go through his pregame, and then you understand he had 25 that night, and you understand why he's capable of doing that, and you know, then obviously the historic game couple nights later. But, you know, it's really cool to see him be successful. You pull for the guys that you know earned it, and they worked their tail off. And you know, he was excited to see us, and his mom and dad were there. And you know, the young man's just got so many positive things going in his life. And it's nice to see him, you know, playing in that moment and playing in the playoffs. You know, they've got their challenges. They've had a couple of injuries, and you know, I think they're going to lean on him pretty heavy here, and TJ as well. And so it's nice to see it. And then obviously the 10th anniversary Hall of Fame, and to see Io, very 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 deserving. And of course James Augustine, what he established in his career here is speaks for itself. So I couldn't be prouder of Io and elated for everything that's come his way.
As far as like narratives go, it's such an incredible story of you arrive in, you know, what, spring of 2017. You target one guy in Chicago who could turn the tide of Illinois players going to Illinois. You sign him that November. That press conference is now lore within the fan base of, you know, at the Jordan store in Chicago, of like, I'm going to stay home, I'm going to turn this program around. He does turn the program around, and now he's scoring 43 in a playoff game the year Illinois then goes to the Final Four, the team he built. It's like, it's overload for a writer like me. So
it's a good book, isn't it?
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, and you know, I almost laugh when you brought up his signing. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, seeing everything, you know, and all the news and all the media, and everybody's there. And today we don't even announce them, you know.
Yeah, it's
just,
you're right.
We're just in a different world.
Absolutely.
And how things have changed. But there's no doubt Io was instrumental. And you know, I think the thing that gets lost with Io is his love for the city of Chicago, mm-hmm. the state, and it was so important for him to play in his home state. Mm-hmm. And then for them to believe in us when we were so young, and I say young in the program, and trying to turn it, you know, is you know, my tip my cap to him, you know, for believing in us and helping us get going. And it wasn't easy, and it was a you know, you couldn't flip things now like you could with the portal, and it was one player at a time, and I got it started.
And you mentioned his family. Like, there was this story his senior year after he had signed. I grew up in Highland, Illinois, so there's the Highland shootout every year of a bunch of teams. I was playing in it, but that's right when he turned his ankle as a senior. And he tried to play, really couldn't go, but he told his mom, I remember the quote that night was like, "Mom, all these kids came to see me play. I got to give them something." Like, he was so self-aware as a 17-year-old of like, no, these kids, I remember being that kid. I want to give them something. I need to give them a gift. I'm like, this kid is, he's just, the way he views stuff is different.
Yeah, his emotional maturity is at a very high level.
Yes.
And it always has been. And I've said it many times. Io was a pro long before he was a pro. Mm-hmm. His approach to workouts, his approach to what this thing was going to look like, even off the court. Mm-hmm. Io wasn't out on campus seeking, you know, attention. Io probably became more popular, more famous because nobody ever saw him.
Yeah,
but he just had that approach, and then he was always approachable. When he was, but just you know, if Io said he was going to work out at 10 a.m., he was going to work out at 10 a.m. Then he was going to work out at 2, and then he was going to work out at 6, and there was no calling up saying, "Yeah, I'm tired today, I'm not going to do that." That wasn't Io. He was a pro long before he became one.
And the cherry on top of all that is he's going to sign for like $100 million this summer. But we'll let that happen before we talk about it.
Yep. Well, now you fast forward to this, and I think something that's also cool is you just went to a Final Four with a bunch of guys that were born an ocean and a continent away, and it doesn't feel like rented international players, but that they are loved and that they love being here, and the fans get to know them in a way too that a Chicago-born kid can be ingrained in this community.
Yeah, it's the beauty of basketball. Basketball is a really small network, and it brings people together. And, you know, the great thing for all of those young men is it's easy to be – it's easy to fit in here. And there's – we got it – you know, our university's got a lot of international students, but it – but it's a great experience for them. They're excited. There's a genuine excitement. It's something new. It's a new school. It's new friends. We're playing college basketball. Hey, there's a thing out there called the Final Four that maybe we get to go to if we're good. And everything is fresh and new.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And that was fun. And you know, this group is tons of personality, and yet they're ultra competitive, and they work really hard, and it became contagious. And then, you know, as the season went on, you got to see, you know, Tommy smashing guitars and
yeah,
and their personality, and you know, now we've got DJ Schmirk and everything else that goes along with it. But it's just, that's fun. That's letting kids be kids, and yet when it's time to play, they play, and that's the beauty of that round ball. It brings a lot of people together, no matter where you're from.
Yeah, I know we've got to get you out of here. So for the last thing, were you able to see photos? I'm assuming of you saw the videos of the alma mater statue and everything else. And like, what are your thoughts? You've been around college ball for a long time, of just the students. I mean, there might be a producer over here who ran down Green Street all the way to alma mater from camp.
So. To me, that's what this is about, just being able to create memories for somebody that I hope 25 years from now, our producer comes back and says, man, I climbed on top of that statue when we went to the Final Four, or I was, you know, running down Green Street or what. And to me, that's what this is all about is, hey, I was at that practice, that open practice during the Final Four. And that's those are memories that make your experience in college so much more and create. And I'm just happy to be a part of it and a small piece of it. I've said we've got incredible fans, incredible students, and those pictures were awesome to see.
Yeah.
Well, we could go on till the cows come home,
or get out.
You come back again, we'll let you light the eye again.
Until I cut down the Final Four net, I expect to have that'll be the highlight.
Okay.
Listen, thank you so much, Brad.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, really appreciate your time. We're right back after this. This episode of Light the Eye brought to you in part by Logic Events and Logic Co-working. We've been talking to you about Logic Co-working, but it's also a great space to host your events. And if you're looking to elevate your luncheon experience, consider Logic Events, where they'll offer you a welcoming atmosphere for you hosting a networking event or a presentation. Their friendly staff will be there to help you and your guests. And they are partnering with Blue Dragonfly Catering, so you can make the food portion of it easy with farm-to-table inspired menus with fresh seasonal ingredients and a choice of menus for you and seasonal variety as well. There's a fully prepared event space for you, including tables, chairs, and AV equipment, microphones, and all the on-site staff support that you need. Plus, good deals right now if you want to set up recurring monthly events. Logic Co-working and Logic Events, along with Blue Dragonfly Catering, check out two trusted local partners for one seamless luncheon experience. Well, that was fun.
Yeah.
And worth the wait.
Absolutely.
We did. He was on the books with us for a few weeks ago, but for reasons that he probably can't discuss yet.
In the portal is slightly more important than Light the Eye.
Just one follow-up on the IO discussion. Mm-hmm. Two follow-ups. First of all, I think when he got here, this microphone was thicker than his legs.
Yes.
Every time I see him on television now, it's like he's gained 100 pounds
mm-hmm.
of pure muscle.
Yep.
I love seeing him have success.
It's great. The best.
I there's been few athletes. What he described about IO's work ethic, there was a look in his eye
mm-hmm.
that I've seen around here you know, just interviewing and interacting with athletes of, I know what I'm going to go do, and I am going to, nothing will stop me from achieving it.
Yep. I have told people that since I moved to Champaign, my number one moment covering Illinois basketball is this little moment. There was a game at Nebraska during COVID, so no fans in the arena. There was a snowstorm that night, not very big, just like 1 to 2 inches. And so several other media coming from the northern route kind of turned around because the snow was, I guess, worse up there. And so I was the only Illinois media person in that corner, and there were only a few Nebraska media. So there's barely anybody in the building. This is the game that Illinois wins in overtime. Nebraska wasn't very good, but played really well the entire game. But Io took over late to send it to overtime and then absolutely took over in overtime. When he sent it to overtime with a shot, and then I believe he made a steal to force overtime or something, he was running off the court into the corner where the media seats were. And you have to picture this is a completely empty arena. And he just had this look on his face and this moment, and I wrote about it at the time, of like, yeah, this is some like superhero kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like he just had this, you know, he had this little conversation with himself after he ran off the edge of the court after chasing a ball going out of bounds. And you could just see this look on his face and this determination. And I noted it at the time. I'm like, this guy is different than anybody we've had. He just has this like focus that I'm not sure I've seen in many college athletes. And again, the beauty of COVID, if you will, is I'm the only human being who got to see that little moment. And I cherish that so much because you could just see that he, in his own thoughts, was, we are not losing this game and I'm going to do what I can to bring us back. And so it was a great, great moment. And he has continued to be that guy and proving people wrong all the way up until this summer's $100 million contract or whatever he signs.
A few other eyelights, if you will, to mention.
Is that a new term we're going to use?
First of all, congratulations to and hats off to Illinois women's tennis head coach Evan Clark.
Mm-hmm.
He announced his retirement after 11 seasons. He's Illinois' all-time winningest women's tennis head coach and an outstanding human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had the pleasure of having a few interviews with him, but also just some side conversations and just an outstanding coach, husband, father, you name it, and wish him all the best. And it's not an easy place to be in right now.
Yeah.
in the world of college coaching.
Yep.
And he has he's done a remarkable job here, and I know he expressed all himself much better on social media. So I'll leave that be.
But yeah, good luck.
I did note that in that Josh Whitman said we tried to convince him otherwise.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Good luck to you, Evan, and you'll be missed here. Shout out to Illinois women's golf. They are in an NCAA regional. I believe that's back in Stanford in California.
Mm-hmm.
So congrats to them and Renee Sloan's squad. And at the same time, Illinois men's golf is in the Big Ten championships. You are going to be traversing your way there shortly after we complete this podcast out to Oregon.
Within hours on my way to Portland, yes. Yes. I mean, I've done it the last 3 years and I'm going to keep it rolling, and I enjoy covering the Big Ten tournament so much. It's so much fun for me. So last 2 years, no Big Ten title after 13 and 15 years. So it is time to reclaim that trophy. And I will note for the women's team going to Stanford, don't top it on the first. The first hole at Stanford's golf course is over a road down below you. Literally over a road. An active working road. You're up on this hill and the road is like 30 feet below you. But
so if there's reports of golf ball sized hail?
Yes. Just don't top it, please. There you go. My word of advice.
I'm headed here shortly also to Iowa City for a big road series for Illinois baseball against the Hawkeyes. The Illini are a game behind them in the standings, and everyone's going to be fighting for those last spots in the Big Ten tournament. So big series. And truth be told, I like the energy in Iowa City there with when it comes to baseball. It's a good little stadium, and they show up, and there's good. It's a good road environment.
Yeah, it's just right there between football and basketball, right? It's like
exactly.
It's right there, kind of between Carver Hawkeye and.
I'll never forget. It was a couple of road trips ago, I think, in Iowa. I don't remember, but I was with an Iowa staffer walking right there by the football stadium, and the staffer was just like, "Oh, you know, another 8-4 year." And I thought, we would throw parades.
Yes.
And well, now Illinois had a few better than that.
That's so. Right. That's right.
Oh, how the turns have tied. And, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. What?
the turntables. Yes.
All right. And finally, just when your university is searching for something, for maybe a mascot, you can search high and low, but sometimes you just have to take what's given to you. And a cow showed up on campus yesterday.
Yes, we should have asked Coach Underwood this. Is cow just female, right? Is bull for male and cow for female? I think, right?
I thought it was sow.
Is that a heifer? we are looking. Every ag graduate is laughing at us right now.
Yesterday, I was calling the softball game for Big Ten Plus, and Ella was producing. She's the one that alerted me to our whole booth of this cow incident that was going on. And the analyst said, well, apparently it was first over at baseball, seen by the baseball field. And I'm like, I have more questions than I have answers right now with what's going on, because I've been to the baseball stadium now a few times.
Yes,
I've not seen a cow hanging around.
Yes. So does that mean it went through the cemetery?
It did.
Okay. So it went up through the cemetery. I saw it going up, or I saw a video of it going up 6th. Right through the kind of business campus there, and then turned on that corner, and I saw the shot of it at Folinger. How great that a cow is somewhere down South Farms, and it just makes a beeline for the quad. I mean, seriously, how great is it that it ended up on the quad before they got it, right by Folinger?
Okay, should we just do this?
What, our names? Have some?
Well, no, I mean, I saw you.
Yes, I tweeted my best two, which were Oski Cowwow. But I'm most partial to David Stierkovich. So I'm going to hold.
You have others?
I do have others.
Okay. I just wanted to just.
Okay, you go.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Kylan Coswell. Okay. Kylan Coswell.
Okay. I had, let's see, who were some of my rejected ones were Calfew Bailey instead of Matthew Bailey. How do you think? Huh? Not bad. Calfew Bailey.
Keaton Wrangler.
It's not bad. It's not bad. I had Hugh Heffer. I mean, that one's pretty standard. I felt like everybody was going to come up with Hugh Heffer.
What? Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. Illini offensive coordinator Barry Mooney.
He's kind of. It has to have the sound in it.
I thought there was no judging during brainstorming.
Okay, I could use my friend Kevin texted me Iodasumu. That's really good. Iodasumu.
Illini assistant women's basketball coach Calamity Mukintyre.
That's not bad.
Okay,
Moo works with a lot.
Yeah, that's true.
Moo works with a lot. I think I'm out on my list. I had one other. Football one, but I can't think. What do you got?
Marching Illini director Barry Cowser.
Barry Cowser is good. Yeah, I think that might be your best of that list. I don't think it tops David Stierkovich, but well done.
I don't know. I'm trying to do this. This kind of feels like high stakes.
Look, I was so proud of David Stierkovich. I can't tell you how proud I was. And somebody responded on Twitter just saying, yeah, I checked underneath, and yes, it is a steer. So it's like, that's really good. That's really good.
It's utterly ridiculous.
Oh, well played, sir.
You missed the stakes. I said this is high stakes.
Oh. That's what I was trying to come up with. I went right through it. Just drove right through the stop sign. Just like the bull.
Next time... it would behoove you to listen to what I'm saying.
It really, I got the behooved. It really, did you see the video where it charged the students right in front of like DKH
yes,
or whatever?
That's crazy.
That is nuts.
Oh,
that
maybe nuts. Maybe Brad could have a new hashtag everyday pies.
That's, now you're stretching.
Okay.
Yeah, it's all right. You just know, you got to know when you got nothing left in the arm, the fastball's gone. Signal the manager to come get you.
I'm going with Barry Kauser. Okay. I like Barry Kauser and David Stierkiewicz.
David Stierkiewicz.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, this has been an interesting episode.
Yes, it has.
We ought to get a Final Four coach on more often.
Well, maybe Shauna can go next year and Brad can go. And we have two Final Four coaches after the season
year. It is not. There's way more than a non-zero chance that that happens.
Yeah, you're talking about like preseason number 3 and preseason number 15 or something. So, yes. Yep.
Well, we've had a grand old time, and now we're off to different ventures before we circle back here next time. Thank you so much to Ella Peterson as our producer for this episode. Thanks to our hosts in the Center for Teaching and Innovation and Learning inside the Armory. For Robert Rosenthal, I'm Scott Beatty. Talk to you next time when we light the pie. I mean, the eye.